Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio. Well, we bid you good afternoon. Hello, everybody, wherever you are. I'm Doug Llewellyn, your host, and I say this all the time, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and I really mean that. We have something pretty fascinating today. Subjects involving hypnosis and things like past life regressions interest you? It intrigues me, and when I hear somebody mention past life regression, I get excited because I think, you know, you hear some really amazing stories when you get into subjects like that. Well, we're going to be talking about those areas in the next half hour. I think you're going to be fascinated by our guest. Her name is Joanne Selinsky, and she runs a practice that's known as Soul Source, which is headquartered in Baltimore, Maryland. She also has an office in suburban Washington, but she is a hypnotherapist. And she's the founder of this practice, Soul Source, which offers a unique combination of spiritual discovery and tools for transformation and holistic healing. As she puts it, this life is all the work is actually life-altering, and the degree of wisdom that people get from their own past experiences is, as she describes it, profound and greatly satisfying. She uses hypnosis to bring her clients into a deep state of trance, and in that state, they're in direct contact with their superconscious. Did you know you had a superconscious? Well, you do. She specializes in two specific spiritual regression modalities, past life regression and then life between lives hypnotherapy. Life between lives hypnotherapy. This is all fascinating, just totally fascinating. Past life regression lets you access recollections from your earlier lifetimes in order to explore your eternal soul's memories. And life between lives hypnotherapy is a technique for journeying between those lifetimes, often referred to as the inner life. And these experiences are described as being invaluable for those who want to connect with their higher self in order to resolve past lives and discover your life's purpose. How about that? Sound interesting to you? I'm glued to it. I am absolutely fascinated by this whole subject. So in any event, we are delighted to have our guest. Again, her name is Joanne Selinsky. She is headquartered in Baltimore, and I love Baltimore. I was actually born in Baltimore, so it's lovely to talk to somebody from Baltimore. Let's bring her on the line now. Good afternoon, Joanne. How are you? Nice to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Doug.
Very good. I must ask you, to begin with, explain to me what Soul Source is. This is your practice. What do you specialize in, and what are you doing to help people?
Well, I'm a hypnotherapist, and I specialize in past life regression and life between life hypnotherapy. In addition, I'm a spiritual counselor. So my work with people, my individual work with people, is helping them to understand their current life within the context of their eternal life. Soul Source also offers, I host other healing practitioners who do other different other modalities, sound healing, energy healing. There's another hypnotherapist on board. And in addition to those individual sessions, spiritual teachers and alternative healers offer training, classes, and workshops at my center. So it's an amalgamation of individual and group work.
Okay. I want to bring out a little bit about your background, because you have an amazing background. You have a bachelor's in psychology and a master's degree in marriage and family counseling and family studies. And then you augmented that with a bachelor and master's degree in metaphysical ministry and a doctoral degree in transpersonal counseling. Those are some very interesting subjects that a lot of people don't know much about. But in any event, you also had a career as involved with Baltimore's homeless service system, which was very extensive, and the International Welfare Agency there. Did you run it? You were one of the key people there for a long time, right?
Well, before I switched over to doing hypnotherapy. Yes, I actually ran an international social welfare agency that was part of a global federation of agencies that work with individuals and families whose their life problem that needed resolution required social workers and lawyers in more than one country. So it was literally an international bridge of agencies that provided that linkage and service. And before that, yes, I did run Baltimore City's homeless service system for quite a while, and that was, you're right to say, quite an interesting and exciting part of my early career.
Well, you have this is a totally different career you're doing now. Tell me a little bit about your work with Dr. Raymond Moody and why that's so important in what you're doing now.
Well, originally when I was studying to be a therapist, I actually accidentally came across Dr. Moody's first book, Life After Life, and a lot of people, it has sold millions and millions of copies and been translated into a lot of different languages. And it was one of the first writings about what we now know is the near-death experience, commonly understood. A person dies, is clinically determined to be dead, is resuscitated, and there are millions of stories, and Dr. Moody was one of the first to recount them, of the experience that the individual had during that period of time when he or she was determined to be clinically dead. And there's a great uniformity in the experience of, first of all, living beyond physical life, transcending to a higher realm of energy, if you will, experiencing absolute love and unconditional acceptance. And these stories are so profound, and when you're exposed to them and come to understand that they, in fact, are predicated on our existence not ending at the end of each physical life. So it was, if you will, kind of a door opener for me to begin exploring, in addition to what I was coming to understand about the physical world, to come to understand the non-physical world and our non-physical reality.
Well, this is in many respects a big mystery to a lot of people. They just they've heard, you know, a lot of these terminologies and things, but they don't understand the benefit of it and what you can gain out of it or how it works. So let me begin by asking you, what brings people to you now? You know, the clients who come to you, what are they looking for?
That's a great question. There's kind of two sets of propelling factors. The first, the people that seek past life regression in general have some aspect of their own behavior that's totally inexplicable, either a feeling or a behavior. I'll give you a couple examples. Somebody is very comfortable in life, has almost every physical, or does have every physical thing, and, you know, is very financially comfortable. But every time they go to spend money, they literally have anxiety about spending money. And they come to understand that they're basically walking around life with this idea that there's a lack. So even though there's no lack in their life, no lack of financial security or financial resources, their feeling is overwhelmingly that they're living in lack. A person like that might have been in therapy, might have tried to resolve it, has gotten a lot of help and understanding in therapy, but is still left believing that it doesn't totally explain their behavior because, in fact, they're still carrying around this tremendous sense of lack. A person like that comes for a past life regression session may well find that in a prior life, they lived a life with extreme deprivation. So this life coming, and the life that they led with had with extreme deprivation comes to an end, and they end that life with a belief that there was never enough, that they didn't have enough. They might not have had enough to survive, whatever. That person then, when they go to the interlife, but we'll get to that in a minute, makes a decision that they're going to come back into the next life or a future life, and work on getting rid of that false belief that there's lack. And so they, in fact, put that belief into the life they're coming into. So in contemporary life, they come into life, and they're carrying this belief that there's lack, except they're very successful. They've made a lot of business money. They have their own business or whatever. They have a great job. They have financial resources. But they're still carrying around the old imprint that there's lack. They've done that intentionally. Our souls do that intentionally so we get over it. You know, so we struggle through it and conclude there is no lack. And once you reach that point, you've basically then counterbalanced the false idea that you ended an earlier life with. So that's one example. Another would be someone inexplicably finds themselves being continually and inappropriately generous to a neighbor, a coworker, a family member. And despite perhaps it not working out so well how the person uses the generosity or misuses the generosity, the individual finds themselves continually giving, giving, giving. That person might come in for a past life session knowing or believing that somehow that pattern of needing to be overly generous with that certain person comes from somewhere other than explaining it in this life. And then comes to learn, yes, in fact, it goes to a past life where their stinginess or their unwillingness to share what they had with that person at that life led that person to perhaps starve to death or to have some other calamity. So once again, they ended that life with a belief, if only I had been more generous or if only I had taken care of this person better, they would not have died. So again, they pack it into this life, they come into this life, and now they find themselves continually with this behavior pattern, which they come to understand, and oftentimes people come to understand this in regular traditional psychotherapy, that it's not a good idea to keep giving somebody money, especially who's using it the wrong way. But they're curious about where does it originate. So that's the kind of situation, just two different ones. It's usually about a behavior or a feeling that the person comes to understand cannot be explained by everything they know about their life this time around.
What you're saying, then, there is a connection between someone's past life and their current life. I didn't think there was.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But interestingly, because they don't remember it, they aren't aware of it, but there is a connection.
Right.
Right.
There's absolutely a connection, and that's a great segue into talking about life between life regression and how that differs from past life. So in a life between life hypnotherapy, we're actually doing multiple sessions with the client, and the first session is, in fact, a regular past life regression session like I just described. But in a life between life hypnotherapy session, someone is actually asking themselves much bigger questions. People are searching for an understanding of the purpose of life in general, or somebody who has experienced great loss in this life, repeated loss, a lot of people they loved have died, or someone who in this life is suffering greatly and they're trying to understand what, you know, the purpose of suffering in itself separate from their own experience. Those are the broader questions that often bring people into life between life hypnotherapy. Now, at the front end, the process is very similar. But what we do there, we've started that session with a series of questions that the individual wants answered. And we take the person into a deep state of trance where, in fact, they're in direct contact with their superconscious. And by the way, in the introduction, you used that word. And what a lot of people don't understand is in addition to their conscious mind, which we're all aware of, and their subconscious, which holds all the memories from this life, each of us is walking around with a much bigger repository of memory of experience. And that's our superconscious. That's our eternal self, the aspect of ourselves that has been around from the beginning of our individual time. And it holds all the memories of every experience we've had. So a person comes into life between life hypnotherapy to get brought into a deep trance, processed through some stages of this life, into the womb, into, in fact, a very brief stopover, if you will, at a past life, only to bring the person to the last day of that life and then move them into what we call the interlife or the afterlife. So the session itself then, what happens at that point, is totally guided, the framework of it, I should say, is guided by the questions that the person's come into the session with. People's sessions are very different. What, in fact, we understand from the thousands of cases that Dr. Michael Newton and my colleagues and I, affiliated with the Newton Institute, have learned is that there's literally in the same way there is a process of life on Earth, there is a process of things that people commonly experience in between lives. After they die, we're often met at what we refer to as the gateway by loved ones. We're in contact with higher beings. We're in contact with our higher self. There's healing that takes place. There's learning that takes place. And then there's planning for the next life. And so it's in that state that people get the answers that they came into the session with. They get them answered.
Wow. This is so interesting. Are you saying that everybody has a past life or various past lives?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone has past lives. The only difference, some of us are newer souls than others. So, you know, there are 7 billion plus people on the planet right now. Not everyone's had as many past lives. There are some newer souls on the planet right now. There's some more advanced souls. For example, many of your listeners may know or think of the Dalai Lama as an example. Most of us would agree that he is a very advanced soul. He may have had hundreds, if not thousands, of lifetimes already. On the other end of the spectrum, there are people who are here for the first time. And so they're very, very new souls. And then there are the rest of us in the middle.
Golly. This is so hard to understand. Do you think it benefits people to learn about their past lives in general, just for their own information?
Absolutely. I would say first and foremost, most humans worry about their mortality in one way or another. And when a person experiences a past life or a life between life, what they come to understand is that we truly are eternal. We don't. When our body dies, we don't die. And that's the greatest. If a person gained nothing else, that's the most profound thing people experience in both of these type of sessions. The other thing is people, if you will, come and they connect the dots. They know people are drawn to this work who usually know something about themselves, but they're really perplexed. They have a significant degree of insight, but they're still perplexed. They can't quite understand why something about themselves. And they come and they experience the past, and they almost uniformly connect it directly and instantaneously to what they're doing in the present. And it's an incredibly gratifying thing to facilitate these type of sessions because they result in profound healing, profound learning, and I have to stress this, and people come away with this from these sessions with this incredible sense that at the core, we are all pure love, and we are, in fact, aspects of divinity. And that's what the takeaway is with this kind of work, is you literally come into contact and engage with your eternal self in a world which is comprised of pure love. And you leave that world understanding that you too, with the sages of every religion throughout time have said that you're an aspect of divinity. You've been created in the eyes of God. You are, in fact, an aspect of that one that is all that is.
So, in effect, people don't have to be ill or having a mental problem or having marital problems or whatever to come see you. They simply could come to see you for a look at the background, their past.
Sure.
Is that right?
Absolutely. The common element for everyone that comes to do this work is they're curious. They're curious about themselves or they're curious about, humanity. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, like on Saturday, instead of going to a movie, I'm going to come see you and learn about what I did 4,000 years ago or whatever.
I bet you hear
some fascinating stories. I bet you hear some amazing stories, don't you?
Unbelievable. Fascinating has to be in capital letters, bold type, underlined. It's just incredible. We are, you know, originally what propelled me into my early career in psychology, et cetera, was my fascination with human behavior. And at that point in time, I understood it as it related to the exterior world. Well, the more I learned about human behavior, it led me to understanding our behavior in the interior world. The spiritual aspect of ourselves. We are fascinating creatures. Fascinating. It's just incredible, the stories.
You know, there are people who could be hearing this and saying, "Oh, that's crazy. This is just crazy what you're saying." But I mean, you are legit. You are as legit as they come, and you've really gotten into this, and it's amazing. Tell me about hypnosis. Now, you use hypnosis, I guess, to help people get to the point where they can bring their past life forward. Would that be right?
Right. Well, it's really, there's a lot of misunderstanding. Simply put, when somebody comes, well, first of all, I do a lot of preparation with folks before they even get in my office. But assuming that's already been done, they're sitting in a comfortable chair in my office. The first part of the process is literally they've come with their intention, what they're hoping to understand, simply said. The hypnotic process is first to relax the body, to release any physical stress the person, you know, came in the room with. A lot of times people come after work, right, and, you know, maybe their boss yelled at them or gave them, you know, feedback on a report that they weren't happy with. So the first part of the process is just the relaxation, physically relaxing. And once the body's relaxed, then we move into relaxing the mind. So we stop the chatter that's that goes on in our minds all the time. Now, the interesting thing is people who do a lot of different work, intellectual work, there's a lot of conversations going on in the brain. So the process involves getting all those conversations to quiet down. Now, with a past life, then, it's literally there's what we call inductions, but you take someone back in time, and they literally arrive at a moment in time. And then I begin asking them questions about what they're perceiving. Now, some people see it, some people sense it, and some people just know what's going on. But because most of us are sight-based, let me describe it as if you can see it. Somebody says, well, I'm standing on the edge of a village, and then I begin asking them to describe what they're wearing, look around. We try to get cues as to what time, date and time we're dealing with, where they are, what country they're in. Oftentimes people are in places that haven't been named as countries or in times where really there's no sense of time. But we try to collect historical information just to anchor the story. But the more important thing is to then find out through questioning what's going on. Okay, we've arrived in a scene, what's going on? And then after we find out what's going on, I start asking questions about how they're feeling and what they're thinking about what's going on. Now, when we're done collecting all the information that's available in that first scene, we then move to a different scene. Sometimes people go forward in the same life. Occasionally, people go to a different life. And when that happens, what we know automatically is going on is the person's had multiple lives that they've worked on a specific theme, and we're now going to find out what's the historical correlative theme. So in either case, we're again going into a scene, collecting information about what's happening, what they're coming to believe about what's happening, and what they're feeling about what's happening. And then after doing that a couple of times, we move to the person to their last day on Earth. We literally bring them through their death and then out of body and then have a conversation with them having this more expansive view of the life that just ended about what just happened, what they came to conclude about what happened. And this is where you begin to get the clues of what they've come to build into the future life, the one of the person sitting in the chair in my office. I give you a really good example of a situation. I had someone. Well, this is a theme that's been prevalent, but here it is as it existed for this one person. This one person had, in an earlier life, a number of children, a spouse, and there was raging war, and she was not able to save the family. She couldn't save them. On her last day, after she died in that life, she lived a long time with regret that she could not save her family. When she floated out of her body and looked back at the life, she said a sentence to the effect, "I should have been able to save them." Okay? Well, fast forward into this life, the woman who's in the chair is actually an oncology nurse. So here she has planned a life and is living a life where she is serving people in a capacity where she can counterbalance this belief that she ended the last life in, that she should have been able to save them. And now in this life, she's working in a career where, in fact, her work is helping to save people. It's that kind of counterbalancing.
That's amazing. A quick question. Do you find there is a general time span between lives that people have had?
Well, the research would tell us that the background of answering this is to say to you that it's been roughly 40 years since some of the early regression therapists and researchers started documenting thousands of cases. And
right.
Originally what the pattern seemed to be was that people were incarnating once every several centuries. That pattern appears to have changed because I and my contemporaries are seeing people who have had multiple lives in the 20th century and they're already back in their life in the 21st century. So it does appear that people are incarnating more quickly. I would just say, but that again is based on just the people that are having these regressions, which is how we come to understand this, and not necessarily the rest of the 7 billion people on the planet.
I must tell you, you are so fascinating, Joanne. This is just amazing. We're talking with Joanne Solinsky. Your practice is called Soul Source. We have 2 minutes left. Tell me quickly, what does Soul Source mean? Where did you get that title for your practice?
Well, actually, the title embodies the work. Your soul is actually the source. Some of us use the word source to connote God, Allah, Brahman, whichever religion you were raised in. You came to understand God as a higher power. The word source is, in fact, a word that a lot of people use contemporaneously to substitute for Allah, Brahma, God. Soul is each of our fraction of the source, and that's how I put the title together. So my soul is the fractional part of the source of all that is, and so is yours and everyone who's listening.
So interesting. I must tell you, this is one of the most interesting conversations I've had in a long, long time. I'm really intrigued. I think it benefits most people when they do this. Huh? They learn. They learn a lot.
Absolutely.
Right?
Incredibly.
Okay.
And heal. Learn and heal and walk away free. Yeah, and walk away free with the freedom and knowing that they are an eternal being. It's incredibly powerful.
Joanne, thank you so much. Our guest has been Joanne Solinsky. She's headquartered in Baltimore, Maryland. She has an office in the Washington, D.C. suburbs. She sees people primarily in person because you can't do the hypnosis bit on the telephone. Pardon me. But in any event, her website is called TheSoulSource.net. TheSoul, S-O-U-L, Source.net. Joanne, thank you. I've learned a lot. I'm really intrigued by this. You've been an amazing guest, and I just thank you for your time. Okay?
Well, thank you, Doug. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. That's it, folks. Boy, this is amazing, wasn't it? I think this is just great. Very interesting indeed. See you soon, right here on CUTV News Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks. Have a great day wherever you are. Bye for now.